world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, well, I'm home, back in my saddle again down here in my multi-million dollar studio. Had a good night's sleep last night. Got home. We've been gone 4 days, five, however many long, and all the grandkids came over, man. Is there anything that'll pump some energy back into you? It's all those little monkeys coming down and eating pizza and being little monkeys, and had a good night's sleep last night, refreshed and up and ready to go. You know, the Bible tells us this, that we are not to be ignorant of his devices. I want to talk about that a little bit, because I think that some of the dumbest people that I run into are those who claim to be Christians. Would somebody out there give me an amen on that one? A long time ago, I heard when I was in church, somebody said, you know, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Well, there's some truth to that. They're so fake spiritually trapped that they can't get what's going on. And it's Monday and I'm feeling good and I got a lot of stuff to show you and a lot of stuff to cover, but I got to do a little bit of homework here first. Saturday Night Live, our second one's coming up this Saturday night. Come and join us, friends. Just come and look. We do a little bit of a teachings, a lot of fellowship, slapping each other on the back. And one of the reasons I think it's so important for us to get together is we got to know each other. We have to know each other more than just through this medium here. Thank God for this medium. I want you to think about this. What's going to happen if all of a sudden they pull the plug on this? What do we do? Do you think anybody out there think it's against the realm of possibility that they might pull the plug on this? Hang on a minute. Heavenly Father, just direct and guide us today with your spirit, Father. Be glorified through all we say and all we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Because we look around, we see it happening everywhere, folks. The whole divide and conquer mode is the mode of the enemy. It is the way that they do it. And all the stuff that we see going on now with the Palestinians against the Jews and all these breakout in the campuses. Hey, by the way, was anybody alive during the 60s? Where did all of the pushback begin? Why, it began in the universities, did it not? Didn't it begin on college campuses? Boom. Those mind-numb robots at Yale and Harvard and Columbia. And isn't that where it began? And isn't that where we see it beginning again? And how long are we going to be so stupid that we don't understand exactly the manipulation that's taking place all around us? First of all, the average person that you and I run into has no understanding at all of who the Jews are, what the Jews are about, Christianity. They have no understanding of that. None at all. To them, it's that they've been so manipulated, they make it a human rights issue, the Palestinians against the Jews, and most people couldn't even explain what either one of those groups are. You with me on that? Anybody think I'm crazy? And yet we got to see them now, they're out there marching. Remember we had Antifa marching in the streets, BLM marching in the streets, and they just change it from marching group to marching group to marching group. And they keep our heads spinning. You know, I got to tell you this, if somebody sat me down, put a gun to my head, and made me tell exactly what this argument's about in the Middle East, I'm telling you, I'm a pretty smart guy, and I don't even know if I could articulate it. I really don't even know. But yet you look at what it's doing to America. Now, do you think that is happening by accident, friends? You think that? Or is it the manipulation that we see going on over and over and over? And should we be smart enough to understand that we would not be ignorant of Satan's devices? We have to wake up and understand this. Hey, folks, it's spiritual before it's physical. If you just shake your head and understood that it happens in the spiritual, it's being driven spiritually. See, we don't understand spiritual things in the church anymore. We don't. And you think about American Christianity, I know I bang on it a lot, but you know, did you guys see this? Did you see Benny Hinn? Boy, hey, Spencer. There'd be something for you real quick. See, Google Benny Hinn and see, say, Benny Hinn rejects, Benny Hinn apologizes. Did you guys know that Benny Hinn has come out? Look at this. Benny Hinn confession and apology for what? For teaching that crappy gospel he's been teaching. Benny Hinn, how much millions and millions of dollars did he make, and how many people did he get convinced about prosperity gospel? Renowned televangelist Pastor Benny Hinn has taken to social media to tender an apology to Christians for his false teachings. Huh? Folks, nothing hidden that will not be revealed. And look, I'm not going to make this about Benny Hinn. But you tell me that Benny Hinn hasn't led literally millions of people down the primrose path of spirituality, huh? Healing, prosperity gospel, all of that junk. And now here we look around and all these Christians got all these dollar bills, and the dollar bill isn't worth the ink it's painted on. They've gone out, they sold their whole life, they sold their souls to accumulate more dollar bills, and that system's about to come down. Now, why does that system have to come down? Because it's ungodly. It's ungodly. It's this ungodly affluence that has crippled the American church. They have so much money, they don't feed we don't take care of the needs of our neighbor. We don't love our neighbor as ourselves. We're teaching a gospel today that if you're really blessed by God, you'll have more stuff. You'll get more and more and more and more. And churches get bigger and bigger and bigger and become more and more. I know you're riding with me today, right? This is what we're facing. This is what's going on. There is a spiritual eruption that's happening right in front of us. And we don't understand it because it is happening in so many different places. And remember, General Flynn talked to us about what they call fifth generational warfare, and fifth generational warfare is attacking and connecting issues that to us do not appear to be connected, but are simply what? Designed to bring chaos. By the way, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was void and without form, abahu nadahu, which means chaotic. It was chaotic in the beginning, and it's winding towards chaotic again, to the point that we don't even know Americans actually believe a boy can become a girl. They actually believe, folks, they're teaching that in school. Now, if there isn't anything that could be more quickly rebuffed than that, but what's going on? The church is accepting it. Church is now accepting it, right? Not accepting the fact that maybe there are transgenders or people who are confused about their sexuality. Excuse me. That wouldn't be a spiritual issue, would it? That wouldn't be demonic by now. No, that wouldn't be demonic, right? And so we see all this transgenderism, all this stuff going on. Why? Because the battle is over the seed. His seed and her seed. That's the battle. It's the same battle going over and over. And what does the devil want to do? The devil wants to destroy the seed of the woman. Come on. And at the very heart of everything that we see going on, that is the issue. Because God is building a kingdom. His kingdom come, his will be done on earth. You and I pray that. Well, I was going to say every day, but some of us don't pray it every day. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And what does the devil try to do? Tries to stop his kingdom from coming. How does he stop his kingdom from coming?
Infiltration.
Thank you. I couldn't find that word in there. Infiltration. He's infiltrating every area of American society. The devil is, with lies and deception. And the church, which is supposed to be the standard bearer of truth, is unable anymore to stand back and say, that's true and that's a lie. That's true, that's a lie. That's true, that's a lie. The church, in fact, is embracing the lies of the culture. Somebody say amen. That'd be a great place to say amen, right? And so you think about the Trinity Broadcasting Network and Paul and Jan Crouch and all that crap that they, all of that stuff they spewed for all those years. And now we got people running around. Can I say it? Hey, can I say it? Can I say it, Ray? We got all these people running around, and they're more concerned about the Jewish border than they are the American border. Somebody can say amen. It's all the
same. Amen.
I'm going to show you something. Folks, Christians we're talking about here. Christians more concerned with what's going on in Israel than what's going on in our own country. Now, I don't have to step on anybody's theology to get you to say, you know, right, Coach, that's the truth. That's the truth. Yeah, yep, you're right, Coach. We get Christian Mike Johnson, a Speaker of the House, to take a whole bunch more of our dollars, which we don't really have, take a bunch more of them and give them to those people that we don't even know and won't even close our own damn borders. This is demonic, friends. This is absolutely demonic. I got something to show you here in a second. I catch my breath because we're going to do Craig's prayer here. Sky High, June 21st. Come and join us. Sky High. Going to get together. We're going to have a great time there. I'm going to start talking more about that now that that's 6 weeks away. I'm in a rant, baby. I'm in a rant. I got a lot of good stuff this morning and very, very short time to get it to you. I want to open up. I'm not opening up. We're 11 minutes into the show. Hey, Craig, come in here real quickly. Craig said, we're going to do the prayer. So, Spencer, maybe you can get the prayer up for, because it's about over. Craig's made us have us be on top of these last, 12 days. I think it was 12 days of prayer that we've been doing against the dark forces. But Craig sent me something this morning that was equally, I kind of went, wow, Craig. So, Craig, if you can, real quickly, folks, pull up number 4 at the bottom, Spencer, with the Wiccans, storytellers. Because remember, it was Craig who put us onto this idea that we were coming into a really, really dark period. By the way, tomorrow's May 2nd. Tomorrow's May 2nd. And our prayer protection and remembrance over America, April 19th to May 2nd. But Craig came across something else. Spencer, throw up number 4. Craig, just take a couple minutes and talk about that. What's it called, Craig? Wapurgisnacht.
It's a ritual.
Hang on. I don't even know what that is on the screen. I don't even know what that is.
I
know what it is. I don't see that yet. Number 4 at the bottom. Number 4 at the very bottom. There you go. Go ahead, Craig. Okay. Wapurgisnacht, or the witch's Sabbath, was last night. May Day, April 30th. Folks, the dark side's real. They're real. Well, we don't even know this stuff's going on. We see the effects, but we don't know the cause. Cause and effect? Why is this all this crazy stuff going on? Because there is a group who really believe in the dark side, who are really probably praying and fasting and promoting their agenda daily in the dark, and we don't even know what's going on. Go ahead, Craig, and talk about this real quickly.
Well, the thing is okay, we study them to find out their tactics, right? Not to, say how great they are, right? But obviously, they understand some things in the spiritual realm that we don't. And so when I wrote this prayer, I realized we're coming into this 2-week, ritual, and Stephanie piped up, right, being a former Wiccan and all that. And she says, hey, you're right. This is a big deal, right? And so my position was, okay, if it's a big deal to them, why isn't it a big deal to us?
That's right. If it matters to them, why doesn't it matter to us? Good point.
Just like the Super Bowl, right? If it really matters something to them, we don't need to know all the details. We just need to know, hey, we can petition the Most High. Anyways, so it culminates today, right? Because it's May Day. Well, what was May Day 1, 1776? It was the forming of the Illuminati, right? The same year that what? The United States, right? The federal government in 1776.
Greg, these holidays matter to the dark side. We may laugh at them and say it's no big deal, but these are markers on the dark side.
Correct. And the other thing that I don't think many people realize, this is the midpoint between now and guess what? October 31st, November 1st. Well, why is that a big day? That's a big, huge occult day, too. And I've been telling people for years, it's the day that Noah's flood began. Okay. That is the second month on the 17th day in the book of Genesis. So, but the point being is Coach, is that they are, the things that we're seeing in New York City right now, at Columbia, who's the goddess of Columbia? They're stirring up the demonic, and it's playing out in this whole thing on the ground. So our role is to just really not be taken, you know, by the devices of the devil, but to pray against it and know that, you know what, the Lord's got things in control, but he does need to wake up the people in the church. We do need to be of one accord in his will, and that's all we need to really focus on and carry out what the Lord tells us to do.
It says in the scriptures, friends, if the trumpet blast is uncertain, who will go to war? Now, there's two things I think about when I hear that. Number one, we're supposed to be going to war. We're supposed to be going to war. But why are we not going to war? Because the trumpet blast is uncertain. Meaning what? I don't know. No. We need a certain, I'm going to have a certain blast for you here in a second when we get through this. So we are coming now, right now. This is it their New Year's? Is it their Christmas? Is it their Thanksgiving? Whatever. This is some big celebration on the dark side. And it ended, as far as Craig has told us, going to end it in tomorrow, in tonight, going to end on May 2nd. So we want to pray, Craig, I'm going to let you pray that prayer for us this morning, if you would, that that we've been praying for the last 12 or 14 days, whatever it's been.
Okay. Let me get up on my phone here. I'm on my phone.
Sorry. If it's hard for you, we'll get somebody else to do it. Right?
No. I just want to start with thanking people that are praying this, not only in one accord, but asking the Lord. I mean, it's one thing to be in one accord. It's another thing to say, I agree, and I'm asking the Lord, right?
Yeah.
And so this year, what's interesting is it ties into what the Passover was, right? April 22nd, right? And the Passover 7-day feast, leavened bread, it ended yesterday. Okay.
Huh? Punch counterpunch. Yep. Go.
And you know what's really ironic? You know, kind of looking back over my phone, and some pictures came up. And guess what was happening last year on October 30th? Satan Con in Boston. They ended on April. So see, Satan Con understood what April 30th was. We were just not aware of it. Why they picked that weekend to have Satan Con at basically the foundations of where our country was formed. I mean, the Mayflower Compact, right? I mean, that's just a little stone's throw away from Boston, right? That's Plymouth Rock. Okay.
So
they're praying and they're doing all their things over where we're at right now. We don't know what to do about it. So anyways, yeah,
Praying for financial blessings, huh? We're praying for financial blessings, right?
A bigger swimming pool. Let me just go ahead we don't take all your time up here, Coach, and I'll just say that. Okay. So we praise you and we honor you, Lord Jesus. You're lifted up and you sit at the right hand of the Father. As we approach Passover this year, and now we're at the end of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we call upon your name to be honored and lifted up high.
Yes, Lord.
The beautiful story of God's redemption plan for mankind before the creation of earth. As we remember your sacrifice on the cross of Calvary during this year's upcoming Passover celebration, almost 2,000 years ago, we as your body of believers come and pray in unison, asking for your spirit to move mightily upon the earth from April 19th to May 2nd, 2024. We are in precarious times as war looms over the Middle East and the lands of Israel. Even in our own country, Lord, there's confusion. Conflict overwhelmed the Holy Land at this time. The very Prince of Peace, you, Lord Jesus, are not positioned in the hearts and minds of world leaders across the earth. Yet, as stated in John chapter 1, verses 2 through 3, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made.
Amen.
Psalm 2 states, why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, as you laugh and you distress them in your deep displeasure, give your ecclesia the wisdom, strength, courage, boldness, and empowerment of your Holy Spirit to be in one accord in prayer, but also in action in the days ahead in the month of May. As the enemy, the rulers of this world are brought to naught, we thank you, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And I need him to scroll up a little bit because my phone doesn't see the bottom of it. In the mighty name of Jesus, your son, you're the perfect sacrifice to bring mankind back into relationship with you, our King, our hope, our salvation. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Amen.
Amen.
You, you've been on top of it. Laura Ann, you wanted to get in here. Folks, listen, I don't want to open it up yet, but Laura Ann had her hand up right away. And then Pastor of Pain, I'll let you get in here real quickly, but then I want to go someplace, so bear with me a second. Laura Ann, did you want to add something?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I'm extremely thankful and that what the Lord did, because he started out at Ashbury and all the campuses that he set the stage with praise and worship before this battle was coming. And then what happened in at Columbia College with Sean Foyt this past weekend is amazing. And then Liberty University broke out in praise. So there, it's coming, and God is, yes. God is just so good. He's just so good.
Amen. The opposition, the pushback is coming. Amen on that.
And the Lord always sent before the battle. This is so cool. In the Old Testament, he always sent out the praise team, always sent out the worship team in front of the battle. And he did it with Ashbury. If you're awake, you're going to see it and praise the Lord.
That's why, folks, is praise and worship at the beginning of church services. That's where that tradition came from. Tom, come on in.
As he was praying and just saying the word boundary lines, just really, just clearly, the Lord put on my head and heart, boundary lines, just like property lines. And those boundary lines are under attack. And that's what Satan wants, is more and more land. Amen. And he's wanting it first in our lives. So he just gets little things. He's going after. And what destroys the vineyard? The little foxes.
A good one. Amen.
And so just going little by, that's what the government does. They come in a little increment. See, it's incrementally. Now he's going full force on it. And we have to remember, wherever we set a sole of our foot, that's where we're to claim the kingdom of God.
That's right, brother. So, that's how you expand the kingdom, right? That's what getting people saved is all about. It's expanding the kingdom. The question we have to ask ourselves is, once we get them saved to do what? What are you saved to do? That's the missing oomph in what I see is going on with Christianity. Amen? All right, let me, thanks for being patient with me. Because to me, this is really, really important. Okay, what I'm about to show you. Hang on real quickly. Go to number 5 at the bottom, pagan holiday roots, real quickly. I want you to see how silently, remember, we were warned, infiltration, not invasion. 7 pagan holidays adopted by Christianity. I'm not going to argue, not going to spend time on them. I want you to be aware of them. Christmas, number 1, Christmas is a pagan holiday. Go to the next one. I'm sorry. Number 2, New Year's Day. Well, it explains to you why. 3, Easter, pagan holidays adopted by Christianity. 4, the Roman version of Halloween. Halloween, pagan holiday. We have trunk or treat nights. May Day, just yesterday, first day of May, pagan holiday. Next one, Epiphany of 3 Kings Day. I don't even really know what the heck that is, but it's been adopted by Christianity. Next one, St. John's Eve, although St. John's Eve may be less known among Christians in the modern world, is one of Christianity's oldest holidays, celebrated since the 4th century or before. Hey, folks, stop. Just stop for a minute. Think about go back to the 4th century. That would be 400 AD. And think about the means of communication, what the means of communication probably were. And how would traditions spread in 400 AD? Wasn't no CNN, wasn't any Fox News, wasn't any internet. So these pagan traditions were deeply rooted into Christianity. Again, as a tradition, somebody taught somebody else. The question is, why do we continue to celebrate? Go ahead. We got the internet now. What's the next one? And Saint, is that it? Last one? I wasn't counting long. So there you go. We've adopted these. Paganism is, I hate to tell you this, paganism is all throughout the practice of Christianity in many churches. Sorry. Sorry. Happens to be the truth. Okay, now, here's what I really wanted to get to.
Okay, one more thing real quick. If I told you 3 Kings Days was January 6th, would that ring a bell with you?
January 6th, yeah. Three Kings Day was January 6th. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That rings a bell. See? You see that, you see the above and below. You understand.
Yeah, amen. 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 Hey, there's some good things going on down in Louisiana. Dale, if you're out there listening, get that list together. I want people, because look, again, folks, Christianity is global, but it's local. It's first local. It's first local. One of the things that we're going to have to do is we got to shake off this federal government beast that wants to control everything that we do. And they're doing it partially financially, right? Taxation, inflation, they're giving money away on purpose because they're trying to break financially the American people, to make the American people more dependent upon the government. That's part of what's going on, whether you realize it or not. That's what the new currency is all about, all that. See, for so long, it's been the Federal Reserve, which is nothing more than the bankers, just the bankers controlling everything. That's why a dollar isn't worth a dollar anymore. That's why I saw again yesterday, the crash of the dollar is coming for sure, baby. Why? Because it ain't worth anything. Okay, here's what I want you to pull up for me. Where is it?
You want to talk about Louisiana?
Go ahead and do that real quick, Dale.
Okay, so just what's happened yesterday, I haven't followed up on it. Yesterday, there's a convention of the states. Now, if anybody understands the United States ever went under the convention of the states, it could literally change the Constitution. That's Louisiana right. Is doing a convention of the states, which will bar the WHO, the UN, the health, the whole trade thing, anything outside. It will prohibit anything from the outside world coming into, whether buying property or putting mask mandates, jab mandates, anything on which the health organization and all that stuff the United States surrendered. The Ten Commandments posted in the classroom passed 89-13 in the House.
You understand this, folks? They're going by law now. They will post the Ten Commandments in every school bill, school room in Louisiana. Any school that receives federal dollars, the state of Louisiana says they will post the Ten Commandments. I have that right, Dale?
That's correct. And also along tagged with that will be that chaplains will be voluntary and or paid staff in those schools. All right. So this is we also just had the obscenity law, which is the, you know, no transgender drag queen story hour garbage stuff in our schools, in your workplace that has access to children. You know, just, the list goes on and on, Coach. There is a huge wave that is happening in the state of Louisiana like never before. And I can literally list at least 10 to 15 different things that are not only being presented, but they're being passed. These things, because we're in session, are going to be state laws.
10th Amendment, folks. States are sovereign, not the feds. And so the state of Louisiana is getting it, and they're putting these things in and say, not here, Bob. You ain't doing that here, Bob. You can do it next door in Texas if you want to, but you ain't doing it here, not in our state. And that's a movement. Go ahead, Dale.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't read everything about that whatever had the Department of Education, something Title IX, whatever. Our attorney general was the first one that just now sued the Department of Education that we're not tolerating any of that garbage either.
Amen. Amen. So good things going on. And how about this? Yesterday, thanks to Rob Pugh, J.R. Harrison was on, I can't remember, it doesn't matter, a national broadcast to speak about the Natural Family Foundation and Natural Family Month, right? So folks, look, we gotta begin doing this. JR, are you out there a little bit? I was in a plane. I didn't get a chance to hear it. I don't know, JR, if you have any comments on that, the expansion of it. VCY, thank you, Ray. And Ray's got it going up in Wisconsin. They're pushing. Ray, give us a real quickly. Folks, look, I'm trying to encourage you to understand that local action, it makes national impact. Local action makes national impact. And if Ray can push hard and get this thing going up there in Wausau, Wisconsin, then it will spread next year. It will spread. This is how these traditions spread. Are you there, Ray? Can you kind of fill us in real quickly?
Yeah, all I did was throw a pebble in the water and it made a splash. And actually, this vision that we're doing was a birth through Rob Pugh and JR's vision. We just took it into a seeable thing, something tangible, by having a family health festival event where people can actually come and engage. And if you look at our page, it explains exactly what we're doing. It's all hands-on, grandparents with the parents and the children all coming together as one unit, one dad, one mom, natural family expression. And people are sick and tired of this perversion that's going on, I think, across the land, and they're looking for answers. Well, what do you have to offer? What's the alternative? And we're trying to give them something good and wholesome with music and a hands-on project that the kids can do.
Look, if the state government, the Supreme Court has already ruled on this. If the state government permits any type of gay celebration, whatever it would be, Supreme Court's already ruled. It's open season to everybody. So the city councils, they can't hide behind a thing that it's religious. They can't hide behind that anymore, friends. And all we have to do is force their hand and make them let us have our own celebration. That's what we have to do. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, and what JR and Rob Pugh were talking about on BCY America was exactly that theme, celebrate the natural family. And it's a reverse discrimination if they won't accept that kind of thing. Because they actually read, Dave, you wouldn't believe it, about 50 different perverted celebrations and holidays that take place throughout the year. He started off in January to December, and I'll tell you, there's every day, there's days and weeks and months all dedicated to their perversion causes, and nothing at all mentioned. Mother's Day one day, Father's Day one day, and that's it. So
We're pushing with you, Murray. We're proud of what you're doing up there, man, and that's ground zero. And keep pushing away up there, man. I'm going to show you all something here in a second. Just hang on. Randy, come on in.
Coach, there is such an anointing on the people right now who will step out and do something with action. There is such an anointing. It isn't just authority here now, Coach. This is a power thing. This is the Holy Spirit moving in. This is a militant campaign, and if a person can't see that, then they're just going to get to watch this. It's okay. But those of us who see this are stepping into a power source. It's the Holy Spirit. It's His campaign, Coach. It's Him taking back ground. It's a time to take ground. And this is what it's all culminating in, is the people who will do this. And it doesn't take 100. It takes two or three. And if we can see the value in this right now, Coach, everything we're doing down here, I tell you, God is just blessing it. He's in it. And it really isn't us as much as we're just following the Holy Spirit leading. Amen. So everyone
They've overplayed their hand. Now I'm going to bring up a touchy
subject. Don't be distracted, Coach. Don't let the distractions take us out of this flow.
No, that's right.
Because all of this is. It's distractions. We have to keep our row. We got to plow our row right now.
That's right. So remember this. You don't make another man rich by stealing from another man, right? This is not a zero-sum game. They can't take money from Ray LeBlanc and make me more wealthy. You can't do that, folks. You can't make Ray poorer to make me wealthy. And that's really what's been going on in a lot of ways with a lot of the federal overreaches that we've been seeing. And now this is one that makes people uncomfortable, but I don't care. I've been saying for however long you've been watching this show that the battle is the elimination of the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. You know, I've been saying that. I've been saying that for, nothing against black Christians, nothing against that. No. But the battle is the elimination of the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. Just go look on January 6th and see how many white men are locked up in prison. How many white men? And ask yourself, see, first of all, they've got us thinking about races, don't they? Shame on us. We have black Christians and white Christians and Chinese Christians and Messianic Christians. And they've got us all divided. We all came to the cross the same way, man. We all came to the cross through the same guy, same way. And that he told us there's no Jew, there's no Greek, there's no male, there's no female, because first of all, we are spirits who live in a body, possess a soul. We ain't a body. Anyway, the outward appearance ain't got nothing to do with it. But I've been telling you, I've been blowing my horn as loud as I could to say to the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant man, wake up, there is an assault on us. Wake up, there is an assault on the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. Now, those of you who've been trained to think racially, I can't help you. I can't help you. If they overthrow, can I say it, Ray, without somebody call me racist? If they overthrow white Anglo-Saxon Protestant America, huh, baby, what do you think the invasion's all about? What do you think all those guys coming over the border is all about, huh? Oh, yeah. No, we sure want to protect Jerusalem's border, don't we? Oh, yeah. Don't want to protect ours. Why? Because it's a planned invasion to destroy the power of the white evangelical Christian. Why? Because it was the white evangelical Christian who took the gospel to the world.
Boom.
And it is the center of all Christianity in the Western world. White Anglo-Saxon Protestants. Now, if you think that's racist, I don't even know how to help you. You say, well, Coach, what about slavery? Well, hey, I'm in slavery right now. Anybody feel like you're in slavery to the government? Anybody feel like that? It's because we don't understand spiritual things. Was slavery a blot on America? Of course it was. Was it a blot on Christianity? Of course it was. But what were they teaching in the churches regarding Christianity? What were they teaching? Because that always matters what's coming out of the pulpit. It always matters, folks. And whether you want to believe it or not, there were white Christian pastors back in the early 1700s who saw black human beings as chattel rather than people. That don't mean Christianity is wrong. That means their interpretation of it was wrong. It was wrong. And what did we do? We fought a civil war and we ended it. We ended it, right? We ended slavery. We ended it. And now we're all enslaved to the government and don't understand it. All of us, red, yellow, black, and white, all enslaved to the government. So I came across this from some young Swedish girl, Eva. Pull that up there. It's about 12 minutes long, but I'm going to play it at 1.7 speed. And Eva Vlardingenbroek, huh? She says it all, folks. She said, oh, yeah. Oh, there's a race war going on between those racing for heaven and those racing for hell. What they're trying to do is they're trying to divide the white guy from the black, the white Christian from the black Christian, and the black Christian from the white Christian, and the white Christian from the Chinese Christian, and the Chinese Christian from the Mexican. It's divide and conquer in every aspect of her life. So this young lady stands up. She's from Hungary, I guess it is. And she tells us what's going on in Hungary. And she says, it's time. Are you ready for it? It's time for the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant to stand up, baby. Stand up. Because we're going to lose our heritage. That's what we're facing. Go ahead and play it. It's 12 minutes, 40 seconds at 1.75 speed. Go ahead.
Hello, Hungary. Hello, Budapest. Hello, fellow Europeans and American friends. Thank you so much for having me. Allow me to skip from Matthews for a moment and dive right into a subject that is not so cheerful, but very, very necessary to discuss. Let me walk you through the past 7 days in Europe. This week in Stockholm, three elderly women in their 70s were stabbed in broad daylight on the streets. In London, four people were stabbed in a time span of just 42 hours. In Paris, hundreds of African migrants took to the street to riot. And in Brigelow, also in France, yet another church was burned down to the ground. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is just a few incidents in just a couple of days on our beautiful continent. But we all know that these incidents aren't incidents anymore. If there's one thing that's for sure, is that we know, and our governments also know, that there is a link between mass migration and crime. In the Dutch city of Dordrecht, something interesting happened the other day. They announced, and this is a small city in the Netherlands, in my home country, that a new asylum center will be put in that little town. And what did the municipality do? They said, we are going to offer citizens who live in the vicinity of the center 1,000 euros to take extra safety measures. Our new reality in Europe consists of frequent rapes, stabbings, killings, murders, shootings, even beheadings. But let me be clear about one thing. This did not used to happen before. This is a newly imported problem. Samuel P. Huntington predicted this over 25 years ago when he wrote, and I quote, in the new world of mass migration, the most pervasive, important, and dangerous conflicts will not be between the social classes. They will not be between the rich and the poor. They will be between peoples belonging to different cultural entities. Tribal wars and ethnic conflicts will occur within civilizations. Well, boy, was he right. And the worst part is, we as a society seem to have become indifferent to it. When another white boy or white girl dies at the hand of an immigrant, we might shake our head, we might let out a sigh, we might even get angry for a minute or two, and then we go on with our lives. We offer the family thoughts and prayers, but nothing ever changes. Ladies and gentlemen, what does that say about us? This is the sign, this is a response of a society that has already given up, a society that has already accepted its defeat. But is this true? Have we given up? Do we really accept the new reality that our globalist leaders have in mind for us? I know one thing for sure, and that is that if nothing changes, if we don't start to seriously fight for our continent, for our religion, for our people, our countries, then this time that we live in will go down in history as the time in which Western nations no longer had to get invaded by hostile armies in order to be conquered. This time will then go down in history as the period in which the invader was actively invited in by a corrupt elite. And not only did this corrupt elite invite the enemy in, they made the native population pay for it too. Everyone who has eyes can see it. The native, white, Christian, European population is being replaced at an ever-accelerating rate. Let me back this up for you with some statistics from my home country. Let's take Amsterdam, the capital. Amsterdam currently consists of 56% migrants. The Hague, 58% migrants. Rotterdam, almost 60% migrants. And of course, most of these immigrants come from non-Christian, non-Western, African and Middle Eastern countries. Conclusion, the Dutch population is already outnumbered in the majority of our cities. But let's look onwards. London, 54% migrants. Again, conclusion, native population outnumbered. Brussels, color me shocked, 70% migrants. Conclusion, native population majorly outnumbered. And other Europeans will, of course, follow suit soon if they haven't already. So I'm going to draw the forbidden conclusion here. The Great Replacement Theory is no longer a theory. It's reality. And what's interesting about replacement is that the establishment will either deny its existence, or when they admit to it, they say that it's a good thing that the native European population is soon no longer a majority on its own continent. Dutch national disgrace and dubbed climate pope, Frans Timmermans, already stated in 2015 that diversity is humanity's destiny and that Europe will be diverse. And of course, by now, I think we all know what they mean with the word diversity. It means less white people, less of you. Imagine this in an Asian or an African country. Imagine their leaders rejoicing in the fact that their people will soon no longer be a majority in their own country. Absolutely unthinkable, unimaginable. So what in the world is wrong with our leaders? The underlying sentiment of what they say is always the same. Our establishment claims that white people are evil and that our history is somehow fundamentally different from that of others. Consciously or unconsciously, they have sucked up the lies and the anti-white dogmas of the neo-Marxist critical race theory. That's why the totalitarians in Brussels are trying to force you, the Hungarian people, a sovereign nation, to accept immigrants despite the fact that the population has said no and so has the government. But make no mistake, the majority of the Dutch people haven't asked for this either. Just like Brussels is forcing Hungary to accept these hordes of immigrants, they are doing the same now even in the smallest of towns in the Netherlands. No part may remain Dutch in the traditional sense of the word. No part of Europe may remain European. And it's not difficult to understand why. If the old Europe still exists in certain places, then people will be able to compare the new Europe to the old, and newsflash, they will prefer the old. That's why the Eurocrats hate Hungary so much. And their message is clear. Our way of life, our Christian religion, our nations, they have to go, without exception. Their vision of the future is the neoliberal, unrecognizable Europe, where every city becomes kind of like Brussels. Ugly, dirty, unsafe, zero social cohesion, where the buildings are constantly under construction and they never ever seem to finish, and even when they do, the end result is uglier somehow than what they started with. And what are we left with? A permanent state of isolation, confusion, and disorientation. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the New World Order. So what's the antidote? A strong Christian Europe of sovereign nation states. That's why we need to outright reject the lie that nationalism causes war. It's not nationalism or national sovereignty that causes war. It's expansionism. And where in Europe do we find that nowadays? In one place and one place only. Brussels. Isn't it funny how the same people who erode our national sovereignty and love to do it, give it all up to the Eurocrats there, that those people are now telling us that we need to spend billions and billions of euros on the national sovereignty of Ukraine? It's a joke, honestly, and it's a pretty sick, expensive, and dangerous joke. During a recent interview, I got asked by an interviewer, do you think that you ever go too far? Do you think that you're ever too radical? I thought about it for a second, and I said, no. No, I don't think I go too far. Truth be told, ladies and gentlemen, I think we in Europe do not go far enough. I think that if we really think about the organized structural attack on our civilization, that we don't do enough. Do we do enough to stop the attack on our families, on our continent, on our countries, on our religion? When we hear about another murder, another stabbing of a young innocent child, do we do enough? When we know that our national sovereignty has been given up in less than a century to Brussels, do we do enough? When we hear that Christian kids in Germany are now converting to Islam to fit in, do we do enough? I don't think so. The totalitarian institute of the European Union needs to come down. Let me be clear, I don't believe in reforms. When the foundation of your institution is rotten, and that is the case in Brussels, you can rebuild the house on top of it all you want, but it's still going to crumble. So the only answer is the Tower of Babel needs to be destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the daughters and sons of the greatest nations on earth. And we need to ask ourselves, what has happened to us? Where do we come from? And more importantly, where are we going? Our elites have declared a war on us, and now it is time for us to put on the full armor of God, fight back, and win. Thank you so much.
Boom.
I was going to say, Vinny would say boom. Huh? Boom.
Boom. Boom.
Folks, think of the anti-Christian stuff being forced on you every day. Why? Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. It isn't race. It's heritage, culture, religion, faith. That is the assault. Think how the minority has gotten into power in America. Transgenderism being taught in our schools? How does that happen? Only with the silence of the church. And how have they silenced the church? Racist, bigot, homophobe, by name calling. And we say, oh, no, no, we're not that. We're not that. As she said, sometimes I wonder if I'm not radical enough. Come on in, Johnny. Got to unmute there, John. Pastor Payne, come on in. John will get it.
Going back to that, I can't get away from the borders thing, from praying, but you stop and think about it. Think about our country. And a lot of times the Lord will show you in the natural what's happening in the spiritual, of course.
Right.
And look at our country. How, what do we say at the borders? All the invasions.
Hang on a second, Pastor Tom. Isn't the battle in Israel over the border?
Exactly.
What about our border? What about our border? Is there no battle on our border? Why is it they want to have the border in Israel? Because they want to protect their culture, right? Do we want to protect ours? Evidently not.
Exactly right. But it starts at our house, like you guys were staking, like we staked our yards. That was staking the borders. And we've done it. It starts with the mind and all those different things, but it's that infiltration can cause infection, and that's really what's going on. And because where you just said, how did this happen? It's because we've given up the land.
Amen.
Now, we got to go back, and what happens? Well, let's go to a guy named Nehemiah. And Nehemiah, his thing was when they were building, they all were able, and this is the local thing that you're talking about, where they had a shovel in one hand and a sword in the other.
That's right, brother. That's right.
You know, and that's, they had, or a pick in one hand. So with one hand, we're working. The other hand is we could be warring, but in it all, we got to be worshiping as unto the Lord. And whenever there was an attack on an area, and this is what I do. One of the things that I do appreciate about the Q and you, Coach, is whenever there was a breach or somewhere the enemy was targeting on, there was a horn sounded, you know, the shofar or whatever they had was sounded, that they sent troops set ready to go and to help that area in order that they might not be breached.
That's why they said if the trumpet blast is uncertain, who will go to the war? What is the trumpet blast? It's going to wake us up to what's going on. What is it going to be, folks? The borders are wide open. They're cheating in the elections. We put elected representatives who are bought and sold by these multinational corporations. It's all right in front of us. And the Christian ethic, the Christian whatever, will not awaken and fight back. Why? What has happened to us? Thanks, Tom. Brett, go.
Coach, another reason why
We got to get into the Bible first, and everybody watching this around the world, you got to share Coach Dave Live with somebody else. Nobody else is sharing this. Please post that courageous woman. Please post the link in the chat.
Thanks, Brett. Joni. Figure it out, Johnny. Beth, come on in. Beth Jack, come on.
Gosh darn it.
It pains me to say this, but it, from what I see, be motivated because I hear this from my husband. It honestly, until it hits a person, because see, if he doesn't feel it or see it impact him directly, there's no action taken. And unfortunately, until some of these things hit them personally, that's when people are going to they're going to finally stand up and speak out. Well, by that point, it's too late. The damage is done to you. And it pains me to say that, but I hear it from him all the time. He doesn't want to hear me talk about it. Doesn't want to hear me say anything. So,
yep. So folks, look, here's what's going on. Hey, Black pride, oh, that's good. Gay pride, oh, that is so good. Homo pride, oh, that is so good. Transgender, oh, that is so good, so good. White pride, oh, racist. You get it? You get it? You get the game that they're playing on us? We got to wake up. Church has got to wake up. No Jew, no Greek, no male, no female, and yet we allow them to divide us into denominations even. Some denominations flying the friggin' gay flag, part of our team, playing for the other team, through confusion. Johnny, let's try again there.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, there we got you.
Gosh darn it. My screen is all messed up. Hey, this just takes my breath away. I get so upset about this stuff because they literally, they're coming right up to us. And they're just looking you right in the eye, and they're taking their knife and they're sticking it in you.
Yep.
And then they smile as they twist it. And that's what's going on.
Johnny, if you complain, you're a bigot, you're a homophobe, you're a racist, you're whatever, huh?
Anytime we need to wake up.
Say, I want my rights. I want my rights too, right?
All men
are created equal. I want my rights. You cannot even the score by discriminating on my grandchildren. That doesn't even the score. Affirmative action does not even the score. Affirmative action takes away from my grandchild's right to succeed. They say, oh, well, coach, he's going to succeed because he's got white privilege. How stupid are we? Folks, can I tell you something? There's homo privilege now. There's deviant privilege now. You come into one of these minority groups, you get all kinds of privilege. Can I tell you what kind of privilege I had? My dad crawled out of Appalachian, worked double shifts every day of his life at Kaiser Aluminum to try to put his kids through college. White privilege, give me a stinking break. But see, we buy into it, right? Because why? Sticks and stones might break my bones, but words will never harm me. The words get us to shut up and sit down, and that's what they want to do. And we have to rise, man. We have to rise. We have to rise. Randy.
Well, Coach, I rose about 6 years ago, okay? And you did too. We have to see, Coach, what we're doing in the present. Everyone's saying, well, I'm reading this and it's just breaking my heart. Oh, they're going to have a trigger event. We're all done. We're all washed up. No, we're not. You are, but I'm not. Coach,
I'm not either, baby. The kingdom of God.
I have to see the kingdom of God displacing darkness everywhere I walk. That's God's ground, Coach. We have to see this from a different perspective. If we see it as, oh, that's the end, this is the way it's going to be, then fine, get out of my way because you are slowing this thing down. God is doing, he's taking ground, Coach. This isn't the end of anything. We have to get this old mentality out of our head or we can't do this job, Coach. Everyone's got to make a choice today, right now.
When I had the opportunity to speak at Pastor Dale's congregation down there, I spoke on the kingdom, We have no understanding of the kingdom. The kingdom is God's kingdom. It's not racist. It's not black, white. Wait a minute. There's some song I used to sing as a little kid. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Yet all of Christianity is about division. All of it is. Everybody, oh man, from his own quarter, from his own game. Isaiah 56:10 is what I want to say. Weaver, come on in, Roger.
Yeah, I want to share my white privilege. May I?
Yeah.
My first job was at 8 delivering the Spectator newspaper. I had such a big route when I put my newspapers in my duffel bag, I'd fall over. Then I graduated to picking up dog shit at 50 cents a dog poop for a couple neighbors of my house. I then went from there, or they may have been at the same time, going door to door to sell produce from the farm garden that my dad had, and we would run around selling green beans. Then I got promoted to a newspaper route, which I did for about 6 years into high school. And then I cut grass from, I used to go out on a Saturday at about 8:30 in the morning, and I'd cut till about 5.
Well, at least you had a lawnmower, Roger. Your white privilege, you know, you had one.
And, but that's my white privilege. And I was raised in Bexley, of all places. Wow. But that's my white privilege. I haven't stopped working since my being 9 years old. So I'm sick of it, too.
Hey, Roger, all men are created equal. I don't want to be treated any more or any less than a black man or a man from China or a man from Mexico. All created equal, and I want our government to reflect that. And unfortunately, they don't. That's why the J6ers are in trouble. They got to get rid of those white evangelical Protestants. Open your eyes, folks. Now, am I racist to say that? Am I racist? I'm telling you this truth. And isn't it amazing? We are so Ameri-central, American-centric, we don't even realize this is going on in Europe. This girl isn't from America. She's over in Europe. She says they're overrunning us here. Well, they just kind of copied the program, brought it to America, and we send all of our money and protect Jerusalem and open our borders and let them come flooding in. Both political parties. Supporting Israel and flooding America. The heck's going on? Beth, you still got your hand up. Did you want to come in? Or you just didn't get it down? Just a couple minutes left here, huh? Come on in.
Hey, coach. When I was in the Marine Corps, we had a saying there, and this is what Randy was kind of touched on. It triggered me on this. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. And this lead. Is what it is. But we're not willing to necessarily lead. We're not necessarily willing to follow. And we're definitely not necessarily wanting to get out of the way. And
Chad, you mean to tell me I live in a culture and a society where my grandson is going to be second choice simply because of the color of somebody else's skin? He's not going to get into his college because of the color of his skin. They call that reverse discrimination. And somehow we're supposed to think that if we give special racial preference to black children who maybe were underserved, underprivileged, their grandparents certainly were, maybe not them today, that my grandson is going to pay the price for what my great-great-great-granddaddy did? How the hell does that work? And that's where we are. That's what affirmative action is all about. We want an equal playing field. Dave, come on in.
Yeah, good morning. Spencer or Jonathan, who was ever out there, can you bring up a calculator? Can you get a calculator on the screen?
He can do anything, man.
Okay. I want you to type in a 1, and then I want you to type in 12 zeros. Okay, that's how much money the government's spending every 100 days, $1 trillion. I want you to divide, there's a 2,400 hours in 10 days or 100 days. So I want you to divide that by 2,400. Okay, that's how much they're spending a day. I want you to divide that by 60. That's how many minutes are in an hour. Okay, and I want you to divide that again. There's 60 seconds. Okay, wait, hold on. Yeah, divide that by 60 one more time. Folks, our government is spending $115,740 every second, above and beyond what they took in. So you think that paper money you got in your wallet's worth anything? There's your proof right there.
Amen, baby. Hey, I'm proud.
That's worth second.
Amen, Dave. And where's that money going? It ain't going, huh? No, no. Open borders. Why, baby? Because you better understand white Anglo-Saxon Protestants are under assault because why? That is the lifeblood of Christianity. Call me a racist. I don't care. Just telling you the truth. See you tomorrow.